For the last few Wednesday nights on enemies of holiness. And we know that the scripture talks about, and I don't mean holiness as in how you wear your hair and what clothes you wear, even though I pretty much believe if you're right on the inside, you wouldn't dress in a way that was inappropriate. But that's not what holiness is. Holiness actually has to do with our behavior. And so we started talking about that. We know that when we get saved, God's made us right with Him by the fact that we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. If that's the case, God has made us right. We have a right relationship with Him, and God did that work. But there's a part that you and I are responsible for, and that's holiness. To hear some churches teach it, and I'm not knocking any church, I'm just telling you what the Bible says versus what some churches teach. Some churches teach that once you come to Christ, that if you blow it and decide that you're not going to live for God, and you're not going to do anything about your behavior, if we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only, then we have a responsibility. If the Bible says, if we do these things, blessings on our life, but if we do these things, we can bring curses on our life, then there's things that believers shouldn't do, right? There's a movement out there that teaches that before you ever sin, God's already forgiven you, so you can't ever do anything wrong. Well, not according to the scripture. Jesus even went to the religious people and go, "You brood of vipers." In other words, he said, "You bunch of snakes." He goes, "You don't get it. You know, you don't get it that it's not the outward stuff that you do for people to see to show how holy you are that's important. What's important is what's going on the inside, what's going on in the heart." Now, if it's going good in the heart, it's going to go good on the outside of your life. But you can just be rest assured, the Bible says that the light exposes darkness. So how can the light expose darkness if there's no darkness? And sometimes there's believers who've allowed darkness to creep in. Well, that's not pleasing to God. And to preach that type of a message is a little bit crazy. So we started talking about that it's important that we stand up to the standards that God's put before us. He says we're a holy nation, a chosen generation. We're a people called and separated unto God. If that's the case, and it is because that's what the scripture says, then there's a requirement on our part to do our part. However, we do have an enemy of our souls. We have, the Bible says that the devil is like, it doesn't say he's a roaring lion. It says he's like a roaring lion. Now we know that the believer has the authority over the enemy. So even though the enemy has a large growl or a large bark, if you will, he don't have any teeth if we understand our authority in our Christianity and in our Christian walk. So the enemy is going to come against us. And it's a matter of if we give him a foothold. The Bible tells us not to give the devil a foothold. So you know what? We don't give the devil a foothold. But there are things that happen in people's lives that sometimes they do give a foothold to the enemy. And then it messes them all up. And we identified a couple of those last week. The first one was immorality. You know, God's not pleased with immorality and people being immoral. As a matter of fact, there's all kinds of things throughout the scripture. You know, people want to talk about people doing drugs and alcohol and having all of these addictions. But you know, God also says in the scripture that he hates a liar. Pretty strong stuff, isn't it? He also says he hates divorce. In the scripture, seven things that he hates. Now, he doesn't say that if you've been divorced, you're going to go to hell. Once you get saved, that's under the blood, right? But he hates it. Why does he hate it? See, everybody thinks that God hates it because that's what he said to do, and that's what needs to be done, and if we don't do that, then we're blowing it. No, he hates divorce because that man that's married to that woman, that's God's child. And he hates to see his child hurt. That woman that's married to that man, that's also God's child. And he hates to see that person hurt. God hates divorce because of what divorce does to his children, because he loves his children. So people get it all out of whack. It's like God saying, like a big dirty Harry in the sky going, go ahead, punk, make my day. I've told you, you don't do that. And that's just not, that's not God's motivation. Throughout the scripture, we know that God is a God of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we can't just live any way that we want to. You know, I know that there are people, now who have come out and said that the Bible is outdated, it doesn't have any relevance anymore, and therefore, because it doesn't have any relevance, that, you know, we need to change our positions as believers on certain areas. One of it is homosexuality. Well, you know, the Bible says that a man should leave his parents and a woman should leave her parents, and the two should become one. And then, of course, he created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve, right? So the bottom line is, do you not think homosexuality was dominant all through history? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. There was homosexuality going on when Jesus said what he said about homosexuality. And so, listen, and that has nothing to do with being a bigot or anything like that. What it has to do with, God loves the homosexual. He just doesn't love the sin that they're partaking in. God loves his son. He loves his daughter. Just as wrong as having a homosexual couple, it's just as wrong for a heterosexual couple to be together and being intimate with one another if they're not married. Adultery is when somebody's having a sexual relationship with one or both parties or already married. Fornication is when they're having sexual relations and they're not married. You know, I've known people that got saved and they go, well, I didn't know what fornication even meant. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to be. I mean, nobody had ever taught them that's what the Bible says. And you can say, well, that's unrealistic. People can't live like that. Well, there are people who do live like that. There are people who take the word literally and live according to what the scripture says. So you can't preach on one and harp on that and not preach about the rest of it. God expects us to live moral lives. You and I shouldn't do anything that's unethical or illegal or immoral. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that we're to obey the laws of the land. One of my kids told me one time, they go, yeah, you're supposed to obey the laws of the land, but you're speeding. And I'm like, yeah, and when I get a ticket, I'm going to pay it. That's the penalty for not obeying the law of the land. But the truth is, I should obey the law of the land. There are some people that have obeyed all the laws. A girl that works for me backed out of here the other day. Pulled up to the road, so she pulled out of the parking lot, pulled up to the road. A guy had gone to the stop sign and stopped, put it in reverse and came back and hit her. And because it appeared that she hit him in the back end, even though he backed up, they both were found to be at fault. And as a matter of fact, the guy, we got photos, because I got cameras around the building, I've got photos of him down on his knees, under his car, looking all under his car and everything. But now he's suing her insurance company because of his injuries. And he backed up and hit her. So just crazy stuff. Well, you know, that's unethical. You know, if you're in an accident and you don't get hurt and you act like you're hurt to get something that doesn't belong to you, that's not ethical. It's not ethical to tell, to manipulate somebody to get what you want. You know? And if you are knowingly deceiving somebody to get what you want, that's unethical. We don't want to do, God doesn't want us to be unethical or immoral. And that's important to Him. That's a trap when you get caught up in it. You know, I've been in a lot of counseling sessions where one of the sides of the married couple is cheating on the other side. And then they come to counseling after they've already done that, and they're not interested in counseling. You know, I've only got two people in the room. Where's the third person? And as long as that feeling, that intimate relationship is between that other person, they're not going to get anything straightened out in counseling. I've been in there before. We're in counseling, and I'm hearing what's going on, and I hear how the husband or the wife responds, and I'll look at one of them, and I'll go, "So how long have you been having an affair?" And the other spouse will look at them and like, "What?" And sometimes they vehemently deny it. Sometimes they admit it. But whether they admit it or not, I know they were, because there was a third person in the room, and you can't fix it. If they come in saying, some of them come to counseling, they don't want counseling. They just want to put the guilt on the other partner to say, I tried everything, even counseling. But that other person was, that other person just wasn't changing. Well, you know, have you ever thought about maybe you need to change? For you that think it's the other person, have you ever thought that maybe you got some stuff that you could fix? Well, I always get shouting during that part. But God expects us to be moral. We know that Samson had judgment come upon his life, and he was having relations with the woman he wasn't married to, and he lost his life and his anointing as he knew it. The second trap we talked about last week was financial corruption. And let me explain that a little bit. You know, first of all, you can't play games with the finances. All right? Lots of times people go, well, I'm a good person. Well, you know there's going to be a lot of good people go to hell. You can't just be a good person. The Bible gives you the formula. I've had people say, well, you know what? I'm not into all that religious stuff. I'm a good person. And I just don't believe that a good God would send a good person to hell. Well, the Bible says He will. You can't be a God of love and not be a God of judgment. And the way you don't, and by the way, people don't go to hell for drinking. People don't go to hell for smoking and doing drugs and hanging out with prostitutes and having illicit relationships. You know why people go to hell? Because they ain't saved. That's why people go to hell. So if the Bible says there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved but the name of Jesus, and the way that you become saved is you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you haven't done that, you can't say I help little old ladies across the street and I sell Girl Scout cookies and think that you're going to go to heaven. I eat Girl Scout cookies, but that don't make me eligible either. You know? People get the wrong idea. So let me tell you something when I talk about financial corruption. The Bible says that the tithe is a tenth. A tenth of our income. The Bible says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. So if we don't pay a tenth of our income, you're holding on to God's stuff. It belongs to Him. And you think that everything's going to go good for you if you're keeping what belongs to God? You can say, well, I'm just watching out for it. I'm just watching, God's given me that, and I'm just holding on to it for Him. Really? You're holding on to it for him? Let me ask you something. And I don't know who does and who don't. So I can freely say this. You're holding on to it for him? How much are you currently holding? Not as much as you probably want to be holding. So what's that tell you? The tithe belongs to the Lord. What is the tithe? The first fruit. You don't pay rent and utilities and the car payment and gas and all that and go, well, Lord, you're in luck this month. I had a 20 left over. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute now. The Brad Paisley concert. I'm going to have to hold you up for another 6 months to get that ticket. Okay, so as soon as Brad Paisley comes, Lord, as soon as we do that, well, it's going to be another 6 months because I got a drink before I go. Listen, you can't do that. That means that you're financially corrupt. You're having money that doesn't belong to you. You can say, I worked. I earned it. Really? Who gave you the health to go to work? Who is it that worked it out that you could get a job? Where'd all that stuff come from? That's God. Right? So don't take that for granted. So you can try to justify anything. Once again, it comes back to us. If we would just check our motivation sometimes, because sometimes what we say and do, whether it's immorality, financial corruption, the other stuff that I'm going to get into, if we really check what our motivation is, we'd realize that what we say sounds really stupid sometimes. Because everybody else is going, yeah, I've heard that before. I know that's just an excuse for you not to do what you know you're supposed to be doing. If you're holding on to God's money and you're not giving Him what belongs to Him, and what's it really all about? Number one, it belongs to Him. Number two, that God can do more with your 90 than you were doing with your 100. And number three, that the devourer doesn't come eat your stuff up. Have you ever known people that things are going good, working hard, all that? I know people, particularly working in this business, people will say, if this is going to cost any money, we don't want it. Now, some of them have more money than me. Okay? But many of them don't. And we always run a credit report. And you know what we see? Life was going good. They own houses, they own cars, they own boats. And the first time they had a major illness, whether it was the husband or the wife or both, it's like they lost it all. They lost it all. They didn't have their health. And you can see all of the collections are medical bills. So you know when you open it up and you see that, you know, they filed bankruptcy and protection and all this and they've lost their stuff. And now they've downsized. They've always lived in a big house on the lake. And now they're in a little condo trying to make ends meet. And you know what? You look at that and it shows you medical collections, medical collections, medical collections. The first time they had a major illness, it bankrupted them. So don't tell me that your health isn't important. Don't tell me that giving God what belongs to Him isn't important. And not only that, we're supposed to sow. You know, you haven't sowed any seed whatsoever financially if you hadn't tithed. You know, and isn't it something that some people treat God like they would the waitress? Well, I think I'll slide her a 20. Y'all will slide the waitress a 20 and you slide God a 20. I bet he sure appreciates it. Kevin knows somebody that they got outside of the restaurant after they ate this big old meal. He goes, let me tell y'all something. He said, I gave that girl $5. She deserved every dollar of it. Yeah. But Kevin's been taught different. You know what Kevin did? He goes back in and tips the girl. $5 and she deserved every bit of it after she feeds a table of 10. Yeah. That's mighty big of you there, sir. That $5 is going to change her life. Well, I'm glad he gave her money. And these people, you know what? Waitresses will tell you that they hate to work Sundays. You know why they hate to work Sunday? Because they say the rudest people they get through the week are church people. Because you know what? If the cook isn't getting the food out in time, if everything isn't going just right, I've seen them leave a penny just because they weren't going to not leave them anything, but they just wanted to show them how dissatisfied they were with the service. But I've gone with other people that are immoral, unethical, and illegal. I've been out to eat with some people that I won't go out to eat with them anymore because I've never been out to eat with them that their meal wasn't terrible. They ate the whole thing, but it was terrible. And their service was terrible. And I'm going to complain so I can get something for free. Maybe I can get a free dessert if I complain about how terrible the meal is where it looks like I sopped a plate with a piece of biscuit. That was terrible. I can tell how terrible that was. And isn't that like a strike against Christian people that people have that perception? You know, they say, so what they're really saying is that's hypocritical. People that talk about ministries and stuff like that they go, oh, well, they're just extravagant. They overdo it with the money. They're wasting the money. Look at that waste. You know what? Wasting isn't the problem. Those people that think that the church is wasting money, that's not the problem. You know what the problem is? That person that says you're wasting, their problem is they can't see the waste for their hypocrisy. The truth is they're jealous and they wanted more of what happened. And so they're hypocrites about it. It's okay. Let me ask you a question, because I've asked people this before. I asked the Obama regime this. So I'll just say it. All right? So incomes that make a certain amount of money, you know, that's just too much money. If that's too much money, then I ought to give money to people who don't have. And by the way, I do give money to people who don't have. But how much money should I give? How much? And not only how much money should I give, how much is too much for me to keep and not be greedy? I mean, I've asked people, what's the number? They'll say, these people, they're filthy rich. And you know what? There's people that are going without. And I'm thinking, really? Really? Okay? So I've asked people before, how much do you think is too much? In other words, how much can a person make before it's too much? And you know what? I've had people give me the answer. They say six figures. If they're making six figures, then you know what? That's too much. Really? Let me tell you something. When I go to bed at night, there ain't nobody that works for me that has any concern about everybody else in the company getting a paycheck. But I do. The people who are selling stuff don't have any idea or care about the people who are collecting the money. They just know they sold it. Therefore, you know, it should be there. Because they sold it. Well, you know, people can sell. You can sell $3 million a year and go bankrupt if you didn't collect no money. Three things for a business owner that you have to be thinking about every day. I have to increase my sales. I have to control my costs, and I have to collect my cash. And if I ain't doing one of those three, I'm spinning my wheels. But you know what? Some people go out of business because one of those three. Some people go out of business because they don't have any sales. I tell people that I went to the School of Hard Knocks and paid $1 million in tuition, and I did. I sold $1 million more equipment than I collected in my first business. Because I just kept taking the business, but I wasn't doing the paperwork right, and I had to write off $1 million. Now go to the bank and tell them that you're worth $1 million less than they thought, and see how that goes over. Everybody loves that. But we figured all that out. Lord was with us. I was a sales guy, but it don't do any good. You got to run the whole business. And what good does it do? I had a guy work for me, takes off out of here. I get a call at 1 in the morning. This lady goes, "You Mr. Vanderpool?" "Yes." "I need to tell you something. You know that driver of yours?" "Yeah." "I've seen him selling beds and oxygen concentrators for drugs over in such and such an area." So the next day, he goes, by the way, he's on probation, but that didn't show up on the paperwork. So he comes in the next morning. I go, "Here's the good news, the bad news is. Bad news is you're fired. The good news is, if you go get my equipment, if you go right now and get my equipment, I ain't going to tell your probationary officer, and then you won't have to go to jail. So you've got till 5 o'clock today." All I knew was that he had a bed and a concentrator that he sold for drugs. Do you know he come back here with a 20-foot box truck loaded down with all the stuff he had sold for drugs? I didn't even know it. My whole warehouse was full where he had sold it for drugs. And I didn't report him, because if he's going to bring that much back, I was happy. He might have needed two trucks, but I wasn't going to have him come back the next day. That's unethical and illegal. But nobody is concerned about that. I mean, unless people know how hard I've worked to get what I've got, then you're really going to judge me? And that's what people do. People go, "Well, that CEO goes in there, and because he made that company profitable, you know, he took home a bonus of $500,000. Okay. So, Steve Jobs with Apple. Do you think, I don't care, G, J, Joe, J, whoever. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Okay. So, you know him, that fella, you know, the Apple guy. Do you think that he created and sold enough that he was worth a $500,000 bonus? I mean, let me tell you something. He sure was. And he sure did. And tell me Apple hasn't changed the world. There were people using iPhones before they worked all the kinks out of them and said they just wanted an iPhone whether it worked good or not because it was cool. Now, when you can sell that, you can sell, you know, ice to Eskimos. People would buy an iPhone because it was an iPhone, even though they weren't working good. They go, "But yeah, it's so cool. Everybody's got one." Now, that's a sale. Do you think he deserves what he got? You know, we need to be careful when we're judging what other people have. We don't know. Are there people that have done things illegal? There are. There are people right now that everything they've done, they're laundering money and they're selling drugs and they're doing things that aren't right. But not every business owner and successful person does that. Some people trust God and pay their tithes and give. Some people work hard. For every penny that they get. And other people say, "Well, I work hard, but you know, I'm not making that kind of money." Okay, but what's your stake in the position that you're in? You know, when you go home, do you have any responsibility for the job? It's all relative, isn't it? So, financial corruption. And I've talked about it in different ways, stealing, taking things that aren't yours and stuff like that. But, you know, let's talk about it, how it crosses over when it comes to the godly stuff. But here's the final trap that I see. The final trap to us not living a holy life. And it's probably the biggest one. And it's probably the biggest one because really the immorality deal and the financial corruption are all under the umbrella of this one, which is rebellion. Rebellion to the things of God when you know what... Hey, listen. And I don't want you to admit this because, you know, I'm not asking for admission, but here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to think about, because everybody in here, I promise you, has said this before. But let me tell you how wrong it is to say this. Right? If you say, you know I shouldn't say this, but. Well, you already know that you shouldn't say it. Why are you mad at them? Because I told them a secret that someone else had told me. And now, everybody knows. Okay. You told a secret that somebody else told you. So how much of a secret is that? And out of the 15 people you told, only one told everybody else that you told. So if you said that one person came to you and said, I tell you what, I ain't told nobody else this. That's a lie. They told a bunch of other people that. The only way that you can keep something private is if you don't tell nobody. Because if you tell a person, they're going to tell somebody. Why do crooks get caught? People can go commit murders. You know how they get caught? They go get a little buzz at the bar and they go, yeah, I killed a guy the other day. Just shot him right between stinking eyes. Right over here on Highway 33. Just blowed him out the water. I watched an episode of Cops the other day. They rush up in the parking lot and catch this guy. And the witness goes, I was just sitting here on the swing. And the guy says, yeah, I got this gun right here. He goes, I robbed a bank with it the other day. He goes, here's the newspaper article. He'd cut the newspaper article about himself out and was showing everybody and got arrested in the park. Look here. I'm a real smart bank robber. Here's my picture right here. Just imagine this face without a ski mask on. Listen, rebellion can be very subtle too. We can make all kinds of excuses for why we live like we live. But there's no excuse. If you're going to say, make the comment, I know I shouldn't say this, but. Or, I tell you what, I just couldn't help it. I had to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you know what? You can't afford it. You know, most people only use about 8% of their brain anyhow. High-functioning people use about 25%. So if you ain't using but 8%, you can't afford to give none of that away. Let me tell you, people who cause discord and try to get a bunch of mess going all the time. You know, if all you're doing is gossiping and talking about people and questioning the moves that people make, on the job, in the church, in other people's family lives. Look, you have one realm of judgment, and that's at your house. If you want to get involved in the lives of people, get involved with the people at your house, because that's the only place that that's any of your business. But I hear people talking all the time about, did you hear about this one? Did you know about that one? And think about it. You go through the Publix line, and you're coming down there, and there's People Magazine, and Us Magazine, and every Kardashian you ain't ever heard of in your whole life, it's right there. Look at her pregnant. She can't get pregnant. You know, look at her. She was on a diet, but she blew up instead. And look at them. They've got AIDS. They were losing weight for a movie. And I go through there, and I go through that line, and I go, well, I guess I got to see all the important stuff today before I went to work. And who is a celebrity anyhow? I mean, what made a Kardashian famous? Well, I know that one of them was for their video, and it wasn't very good acting, probably. I haven't seen it. And really, you know why we know them? Because the dad was famous and was a lawyer on the OJ trial. That's the only reason we know who they are. If y'all didn't know anything about a Kardashian, I knew who Bruce Jenner was. My mom knew who Bruce Jenner was. But most people wouldn't have known who Bruce Jenner was if they didn't know if that was the Kardashian stepdad. But, you know, I remember when Bruce Jenner was in the Olympics and wore little whitey-tighty shorts to run in, you know, like they did in the old days. Long socks and short shorts. You know, because that got in the way if you had long shorts. So, but I mean, why is it that we're so caught up in the lives of these other people? And, you know, then they go, well, I tell you what, I just wish that they would leave me alone. I just want to have my own life. All they ever wanted to be was famous and everybody know their name and be followed everywhere. Now they're getting followed everywhere and they go, I tell you what, I can't do anything in private. Well, you know what? Then do stuff in private and don't be a public person. But if you're going to be a public person and they go, I tell you what, I just want the paparazzi off my case. But as soon as they get out of the limo for the awards, they're going. Here, let me see the other side. Looks like Dumb and Dumber going, I'll sit up here and look cool and y'all go back there and talk to that one. Lloyd. Even talented people are susceptible to rebellion. Privileged people are susceptible to rebellion. Doesn't matter who you are. If you don't keep your heart right, you can mess up. The Bible says that the rebellious will dwell in a parched land. And an evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. You know, Israel goes in, they march around Jericho, they march around the seventh day seven times and the walls fall down. There's no way that that should have happened. There's nothing about marching around walls and shouting that really does anything. But that was a God thing. Well, the next time they're going to go to this little town called Ai. And when they go there, God goes, go on up, you can take them. He says, but leave their stuff there, burn everything. Well, they went up and they got whooped. And a bunch of them got killed. And when they got back, they go, God, why did you let that happen to us? The people of the land are going to eat us up. And God said, because there's rebellion in the camp. So they cast lots and it got down to Korah's house. And Korah had kept stuff that they weren't supposed to take. God said, burn it all. But they didn't do it. They just wanted to keep a little piece of Jericho for themselves. So you know what? God said, I want everybody to move away from their tents. And they moved away from the tents, and you know what happened? The ground split open. Everything, him, kids, whole family, all the stuff falls into the ground, and then the ground closes over the top of them. Because there was rebellion in the camp. People go, well, thank God for grace. You better be thanking God for grace, because there's a lot of people that's rebellious and don't do what they're supposed to do. The Bible also says if you have an unruly son or you have an unruly daughter and you can't get them to be disciplined, then you take them out in the middle of town and everybody gets a rock and stones them to death. So if you're going to stay out all night and get drunk, stand in the middle. If you're not going to come home at night and be in bed, stand in the middle. Take a rock, hit them upside the head. Make it quick. And you know what they did when they got done? There's your son. He just wouldn't listen to nothing. And you know what they did? They would take all the rocks after the person was dead. They'd pick up all the rocks that he was stoned with, and they would pile them on top of him, and everybody walked past the dead boy with the rocks on him. That's a remembrance that if you rebel, that's what happens. See, y'all are glad you're New Testament, aren't you? The other thing that people are really careless about doing is speaking negative about leaders within the church community. You know, the Bible tells us not to put... Let me ask you something. If the Bible tells you not to put your mouth on God's anointed, okay, you may think, because you've heard other people say stuff about a particular pastor or minister or something like that, but have you ever had somebody think something about you that wasn't true? Well, you know, do you think there might be a possibility that the stuff that everybody's saying might not be true? And if it is that in your realm of judgment? No. So why would you put your mouth on it anyhow? Why would you risk that? It's not worth it. But people do it. And people do it... You know, I've heard a lot of negative things. Let's say Joel Osteen. I like Joel Osteen. But I know people that if they had a stone, I think they'd throw it. I really do. And I'm like, now let's see. Every time I hear him preach, he's preaching about you can do it. With God in your life, there's nothing that can stop you. I hear nothing but faith, 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 faith. And yet people don't like that. He's positive. He's uplifting. He's encouraging. But people have all kinds of bad things to say. Oh, his wife, she's the meanest thing. Who cares? There's lots of people that's got mean wives. There's lots of women that's got sorry husbands too. But everybody ain't talking about it. Right? We had a situation right here in town where a minister took his wife out to an orange grove and beat her in the head with rocks. About killed and left her in the orange grove to die. No, he's crazy. I mean, he got out of that, but he snapped. And right here in Auburndale. Do I think that that man's a bad man? I don't think he's a bad man. I think, you know, I don't think that you can have a right mind and hurt people. I don't think, you know, how could a person hurt a child on purpose? Something ain't right if you can hurt a child. Something ain't right if a man hurts a woman. And on the other hand, I've seen women whoop men before. That ain't right either. Most of those men ain't telling nobody. You know what I'm saying? David's son Absalom rebelled, slept with his father's concubines in the middle of town on a couch where everybody could see it to disgrace his father on purpose. What happened to him? Oh, they chased him through the forest and he got his hair stuck in a tree and they just jammed a spear through him till his innards fell out on the ground. Other than that, he was good. I mean, rebellion doesn't pay. The Bible says that, you know, that we're to obey the laws of the land. The Bible says that we're to love. So what's our motivation supposed to be? Love. So if somebody pulls something crazy on us on the highway, happens out here all the time, you hear honking all day, you hear wrecks during the day, you hear tires squealing during the day, you know what? If you love somebody and you're operating in love, and you pull out of here and somebody's changing lanes because they couldn't see around the bus and didn't see you coming out and almost hit you with the car, are you really going to flip them a bird if you love them? Really. Sometimes we have to question, where's all that mess coming from? That anger and hostility. And look, there ain't nobody in here that ain't done it. I did it. I was driving. I-4 one day where it's 4 or 5 lanes, and I'm looking, and all of a sudden there's a car in front of me stopped in the middle of the road. That wasn't so bad, because I'm like, maybe they're broke down. Maybe they need me to push them off to the side. They had a New York tag, by the way. When I went around them, I stopped and skid probably from here to the back row in the car, just sideways, just barely missed the car. When I pull around the car, they're at the Disney exit and had a big road atlas. Middle lane of I-4, 65, 70 miles an hour on every side of them. And they're going, well, honey, is it this exit? I don't know, honey. And, you know, I go, I can't believe it. And I went, boom. And I hit my steering wheel, and it broke the case for the airbag. So every time you'd turn, it'd go, my airbag frame was rattling on the inside of my car. But I just couldn't believe that a nuthead would stop in 4-lane traffic, 75 miles an hour, looking at a road atlas to make sure they didn't miss the exit. What was wrong with the side of the road? And I think the anger was, that's a dangerous thing. I was also in a hurry, right? But you know what? That ain't love. That nothing about that motivated by love. I went to the gas station. I'm putting gas in the car. And somebody wanted to know, did I have jumper cables? I knew I had jumper cables in the car. But I didn't have time. I go, no, man, I ain't got any. I'm getting gas. Yeah, got gas. I get ready to pull out. And I'm like, you just lied. You know you got jumper cables. So I went back and lied again and said, oh, I forgot that I had jumper cables in the back. Here, let me try to help you. So don't tell me that we all haven't been. You can say, well, I'm not obligated. Well, just say, you know what, man, I really don't have time for you right now. You know, you don't have to be obligated, but you also don't have to lie. There's not a reason to lie. Say no. Kim goes, now I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you that Kim told me on Sunday after church. Hey, I have some gift cards to Macy's that I got from Christmas, and I need some shirts. Would you like to ride with me? Now I want y'all to listen. Would you like to ride with me to Macy's to get me some shirts? Now, how many of y'all know that that's the craziest question that Butch's wife could have ever asked him? How many of you go shopping for shirts with your wife? You go shopping for shirts with your wife? Alex goes shopping with you for shirts. If you go pick him up on the Auburndale Trail on his bicycle, he might. 63 miles takes half the day. Hey, the answer is, there ain't a man alive that wants to go shirt shopping with his wife. So I said, no. And then I said, then she gave me that look right there. And then I said, call Mama, Casey, Courtney, a woman. She called Mom. She goes, oh no, I've been farming all day. That means Facebook. She's been farming on Facebook, so she had to take a nap because the computer had put her to sleep. Okay, so she had to take a nap. Then Kim calls a friend. She goes, I'm in New York. Kim goes, oh, I guess you can't go shopping. Then she called her other friend. She goes, oh, I'm with her in New York. And she keeps going, they're all in New York. Like, I'm going to change my mind and go, yes, honey, I'd love to go shirt shopping. I wasn't going shirt shopping. Well, I don't want to go pants shopping either. If it ain't Brass Pro Shop or Sam's, I probably... Listen. Rebellion. We can't live in rebellion and think that we're going to live a holy life. If God said it in the book, listen, you can't believe that God, okay, people say, yes, I'm saved. Why are you saved? Because the Bible said that if I confess with my mouth and believed in my heart, I would be saved. Well, that's great. But the Bible also says, here's how you show that you're of God, that you love one another. How can I tell if somebody loves God? They love people. That's what the Bible says. They love people. It doesn't say that you love nice people who love you back. It says that you love people. Even nice people who might not be nice, or not nice people who might not be nice to you. We're supposed to love them too. Instead of saying, well, I wonder what crawled up them and died today. Tell you what, that'll be the last time I ever ask them a question. The love of Jesus is just flowing through you right now. See, some of the things that we do and we say, when it lines up with the Scripture, is a bit hypocritical, isn't it? Amen. Well, I hope that helped you tonight. Stand with me. I'd like to say, if you need help in any of these areas, like the doctor said, he says, did that hurt when you did that? And they go, yes. He said, then don't do that. So if these things are in your life and you need to change them, then don't do that. Change it. Decide you're going to do it different. Father, we love you.